This is KERA News. I'm Lauren Silverman. Depending on who you ask, there are lots of ways to cure a cold. Some people turn to brand name cough syrup, others to herbal teas. In Texas, there's a long tradition of combining both modern and alternative medicine, a tradition that patients rarely discuss with their doctors. As part of KERA's Breakthroughs Project, we look at a high-tech way of learning about traditional medicine. Raquel Medina has a natural remedy for everything. A box full of plant-based teas, a bottle of eucalyptus extract, echinacea pills, and in her freezer, frozen squares of sábila, or aloe vera, wrapped in aluminum foil. Medina, who grew up in Cuba, remembers her grandmother and aunts using sábila when someone got burned or cut with a machete. When she moved to Mexico, Medina picked up a few more alternative medicine tricks, all of which she used on her three daughters, now adults living in Texas. I can count on one hand the number of times I gave my daughters antibiotics, she says. She prefers to use herbs and natural remedies for everything. The Latino population in the Southwest is extremely diverse, but one thread that ties the community together is the use of alternative medicine.
Folk medicine is an integral part of culture. And so that's what they've learned, and they've seen it work out for generations, and so that's what they use.
Tony Zavaleta is an anthropologist and a fifth-generation Texan who lives just miles from the Mexico border in Brownsville. As a matter of fact, he had to get in his car and drive a few miles for a better cell phone connection so we could talk. For the past four decades, he's studied folk medicine, or curanderismo. He says most people learn from a mother or a grandmother. He remembers his grandma coming to his house when he was a kid to treat his ear infection with a rolled-up piece of newspaper.
She stuck it in my ear, with a match, she lit the inside of it, and there was an audible swoosh, and I was relieved of the pain.
A lot of folk medicine happens in the privacy of people's homes. That makes it extremely challenging to research. It's a challenge Ilad Yom Tov, a Microsoft scientist based in Israel, was in a particularly good position to tackle.
For the past several years, I've been interested in using the data that people leave with internet companies to study health and medicine.
He means studying what we search for online, for itch relief, for vitamin C, or zinc. Yom Tov looks into what that reveals about how we treat disease away from the doctor's office.
Because these data provide such an interesting window into people's lives that was not available before.
In general, companies don't hand out raw search data. It's private. Since Yom Tov works at Microsoft, he had access to more than a million anonymized searches conducted on Bing. They were in English and Spanish over a six-month period.
We looked for people who were asking about either modern medicines,
like Tylenol, Dayquil, Tamiflu,
Hispanic alternative medicines,
cayenne pepper, cactus, eucalyptus oil,
and then Western and Chinese alternative medicines,
garlic, ginseng, green tea.
Although they were anonymous, we knew something about where they came from. So we knew, for example, their distance from the border and perhaps how many medical providers are in the area where this person comes from.
Using the data, Yom Tov learned the farther away people live from the U.S.-Mexico border, the less likely they are to search in Spanish, which makes sense. But as people move north, does the number of searches for alternative medicine also fall?
They do drop as you go away from the border, but not as quickly as language. And that, I think, is quite interesting because, to me, what it means is people of Hispanic origin stop using the language as often, but they still go back to Hispanic alternative medicines.
This matters because the majority of alternative medicine users don't tell their physicians if they're taking, say, echinacea or cactus. Dr. Turiya Nair is an assistant professor of family and community medicine at UT Southwestern.
Oftentimes, those other methods or treatments or supplements that patients are using can affect the prescription medications that they're using or can affect their chronic conditions.
For example, Nair says patients may use the herbal medicine St. John's wort for depression, but it can reduce the effectiveness of some medications, like oral contraceptives, which are processed by the liver. Nair says patients can feel uncomfortable talking about alternative medications, which is why doctors also need to ask questions without being judgmental.
Just being curious and saying, oh, I haven't heard chamomile tea called manzanilla tea. Can you tell me more about that? You know, where do you buy that? How often do you buy it? And those kind of questions help patients to know that I'm interested Also because I learn from my patients every day.
While internet search data may shed some light on what people are thinking, Nair says it'll take more honest conversations in the doctor's office to get a clearer picture of how modern and traditional medicine are coming together. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.